Welcome to What You Know About RJ, sharing stories and skills about restorative justice. I am still your host, Gilbert Salazar, here with CCEJ. This is a special mini bonus episode, and I'm going to pass the mic to my two guests for them to introduce themselves, whatever they want to say about them, and then we'll get into our thing for today.
Hey, y'all. It's Jamel Fortune Turner. I'm a restorative justice specialist with the Healing Arms Department at the California Conference for Equality and Justice.
Hey, y'all. I'm Tanya Phillip, also a restorative justice specialist here at CCEJ. Excited to get started.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for these
check-ins. I'm calling it a little mini bonus extra special episode because in front of us is a bunch of food that maybe we should describe in a minute. You might hear some rustling. It's because we are eating right now in this episode. What we're going to do is share our favorite or whatever check-in questions we want to, and then we'll pass around and we'll respond, maybe bring some special guests. But we are doing this live as we're eating. Mm-hmm. So
eating good too.
Yeah. So should we talk first about what we're eating?
Sure.
What you got in front of us?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go first?
So the room is filled with the aroma of garlic.
Yes.
Onion. Cilantro. Avocado. And it's spicy.
Mm.
Do you
just
know
like
what
us.
We're eating? Can you guess what we're eating? We're gonna do an asthma episode, ASMR.
We're eating poke because a few weeks ago, Jamel had the spicy crab meat.
Mm-hmm.
Spicy crunchy garlic crab meat that I've been thinking about for 2 weeks, and I'm about to finally have it.
Mm-hmm. How's that first bite?
You know, it tastes good. Like midnight.
Oh,
yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, you did say that.
So good.
Can you explain for our audience what tastes like midnight?
It's
means?
Spicy. It means I still have energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not tired yet.
Okay.
I'm still ready to go. I'm warm. I'm hot. I'm thirsty.
What season is it? Is it summer night and midnight?
You know what? Remember when we were in the Bay for the conference?
Yes.
We were in the Bay for conference in the summer.
It was the summertime.
Time.
Yeah. It was June. It was for my birthday. Well, it wasn't for my birthday, but it was for my birthday.
But we went out.
Uh-huh. It was for Jamel's birthday.
Yeah, exactly. Taharka was there. And who else was there? Ali.
Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph was there.
Yeah,
was Joseph
everybody
out?
Everybody was there. No. Yeah, Joseph was there. No, he wasn't. Joseph, were you there?
I don't know.
If you're listening, no.
Let us know, Joseph. Call us in. So the season for this crab meat is, I think it's like, I want to say it's a fall, it's a spring.
Mm,
there's like a little bit of a chill in the air.
Yeah.
It's not summertime.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It's a bay night.
Mm. It's always cold at night anyway.
Mm-hmm. So whoever wants to go into the first check-in.
Okay. Okay, I have a good one.
Okay.
If you were a Care Bear,
okay,
for those who grew up watching Care Bears and having the plush toys and the movies and the shirts and the notebooks, but if you were a Care Bear, a 2020 version of the Care Bear, what Care Bear would you be? Like, what would you represent?
That's a good one.
Because, you know, they had the Heart Care Bear and the Angry Care Bear. I don't remember any of their names, but...
Can I jack one of your napkins?
Mm-hmm.
There was Care Bears, and then there was Care Bear Cousins.
Oh, Care Bear Cousins?
Care Bear Cousins had... I had the purple raccoon.
Oh, yes!
And then there was, like, Tender Lion... Tender True Heart Lion.
True
so
heart.
There was Care Bears, but then they had these like animal, well, these non-bear cousins.
Yes, friends. That's right. That's true.
That's really cute.
I forgot about that.
No. Mm.
Okay, so if you were
a Care Bear.
Care Bear fam.
Care
and you were plush and fly, what would you be? What would you represent? Or what would be your logo on your body? What color would you be in?
I think I got it.
Okay.
Do you want me to go? It would be around art and resiliency. Because remember how they would fight back where they would, like, puff their little tummies out and they would spray out that, remember? So I think I would, like, when time is funky, when someone is funky, hold my little panza out and give out, like, energy around art and resiliency. Something like a paint... Oh, it'd be a paintbrush and a colored river.
Ooh.
And that would, like... bring people back to their creative selves. That's a good one.
I like that.
I
think for me, I'll be like a little emergency preparedness.
Ooh, that's perfect,
though.
That is perfect.
Yeah.
Emergency preparedness Care Bear. It will be like a little toolkit with a heart on it. And like people will come to me if there's like an earthquake happening when it comes to conflict or in real life. So I think that that's what it would be. And I would be yellow. I'd be lowly yellow Care Bear.
It would be a bear?
Okay. I like that. Or a panda. Panda bear.
Ooh.
A yellow and gold. No, a gold and black. Panda. Okay. Care Bear.
I like that. I think I would be like a teal colored giraffe.
Well, that's cute.
That's cool.
Symbol, I'm not entirely sure of the like the symbolism. I feel like maybe like a star behind a palm tree.
Oh.
And it would symbolize just like authenticity and being proud of yourself.
Yes.
Because I feel like giraffes are hella weird, you know? Like, I love giraffes, one. So no shade to giraffes out there listening. But, you know, they're just, like, very different from any of the other animals.
They are.
But they're super dope. Like, they can do so much stuff that no other animals can do. And, you know, in the same way that, like, palm trees are, like, really different type of tree.
Yeah.
We still associate them with, like, beaches and these really dope like
just
experiences
chill vibes
and getaways. And so just promoting like whatever it is that makes you unique also makes you dope.
I like that a lot.
Giraffes also have huge hearts, right? Do they have to
they
pump
do.
A longer up more than most animals, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They do. In there, did you know that giraffes also like when they give birth? When the young, as soon as the young hits the ground, the mom is like kicking it. Like, come on, you gotta get up, you gotta get up.
You gotta do this.
You know, so they're very protective. They're like, you know.
Is that because, like, you know, any other animal could come over and swoop and, like, get that baby?
And mess with them, yeah. Because they're like, you gotta get up because I can't save you. I can save you. I'll kick somebody for you.
That's so true.
But you gotta get up on all fours. That was a good check-in.
That was a nice one. Those beautiful images.
If you were a dinosaur, when dinosaurs existed, or what we know of dinosaurs.
Right.
There's
probably some stuff we haven't seen.
Yeah, I'm sure. Also, low-key sidebar.
I love it.
I've really been thinking a lot about somebody made up how dinosaurs sound.
Yeah.
Like,
that's true.
That's completely made up, no?
It is.
They found, like, the voice, the larynx of an animal, right? And, like, with some type of technology.
Is that?
Right?
Oh,
a few weeks ago?
Oh, really? I did not even hear that.
Yeah.
I just thought, like, I was like, actually, there was never any, like,
what if they sounded like
you know, like
just the big dinosaur sound like or sounded like a bird because
they sounded like dogs, like just like
that is true.
In Jurassic Park for the raptors, they use porpoises, they like manipulated porpoise sound,
really,
like Porpoise and Lion, I think.
Interesting. But yes, the question. If you were, back in the days, you were a dinosaur, what dinosaur would you be? Or what type of dinosaur would you be?
A long neck.
Ooh, why?
Because growing up...
I'm
a 90s kid. I was born in 91, but I grew up with Land Before Time. And my mom would call me, that was my nickname, Long Neck, because I had a long neck. And I was tall for my age, and like I had the personality of Long Neck. Like, Long Neck was sweet. Long Neck cared about friends, friendship, at least from what I remember. But I like long necks, and it's kind of similar to the giraffe, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, when I think about it now. But I would be long neck. I don't know the actual name for it. But
Brontosaurus?
I think so. Brontosaurus.
Those are different species, but that's like one of them.
Yeah.
Littlefoot?
Littlefoot.
In these scary times that we live in today, currently, and always, I think my dinosaur of choice would be like one of the smaller ones, like the one that's the size of a chicken. Because I think they would have a less of a time being eaten by like big, big, huge prey.
That's true.
Because even like the big veggie heads.
Fast, yeah.
And so I guess in the spirit of like wanting to live and survive, I think I would want to be like a little dinosaur.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And, like size of a chicken. Also an amazing checking question we had a long time ago.
But what about you? What dinosaur?
I think that would be, what are they called? The ones that fly?
Pterodactyls.
Yeah. I think that would be a pterodactyl.
That's true, because you can fly away from T-Rexes.
Yeah, and it's really, like, it's not very deep. I think it'd be dope to fly. And I wonder a lot about, like, I really love learning about animals and like different parts of the earth and stuff like that. And I wonder about like in the time of dinosaurs, were there different parts of the earth that like wildly different types of dinosaurs existed?
Yeah.
Did they ever see or meet each other?
That's true.
You know, as a pterodactyl, were pterodactyls the only few ones that could like fly across and see all the different, you know, places and things?
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That is true.
Just be careful flying over the ocean.
Right?
Remember Jurassic Park Lost World?
Things,
yeah.
Big thing just come up and eat you.
That
you
is
know?
True. Those were some big things, whatever
That's
they were.
True. Also, to your chicken reference, I'm pretty sure, like, I read some study that the actual, like, closest related animal to dinosaurs are chickens. Yeah, like they actually had feathers, not tails.
And the face, the little the eyes,
the little like
the little gobble gobble.
Yeah.
So you know, Gilbert, you might still be around today.
Yeah.
Wow.
You would be
powerful.
Yeah.
You too, because I mean, if you know,
maybe.
Pterodactyls. Yeah.
Vulture. No. Because that's the biggest bird. What's the biggest bird we have?
Like an
we looked at it
that's true.
A few weeks ago, months ago. Remember the dinosaur bird, the emu?
With
the blue... I think, were you there when we looked at it?
That is scary,
scary in like Papua New Guinea, I think.
Emus.
But it wasn't an emu.
Something.
It was like something...
It has like a blue...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That
and
killed somebody. Remember, like they killed two people.
Did
passwords?
It did, yes, something like that.
And his great
the bird was kept as a pet by somebody and escaped to the farm and clawed two people.
Oh my
gosh.
They
have, like
they have
a
that like raptor hook
foot.
Kind of thing.
That
yeah,
is
like
true.
A raptor little shank foot.
Shank.
I saw one of those at the zoo once, and it was pretty terrible.
They have an obnoxious sound.
Do they?
That's scary.
What do they sound like, Jamel?
A little higher pitch, but yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
It's fairly accurate.
I got the poke in my mouth. I didn't want it to fly everywhere.
Somebody in the office next door is like,
what's happening?
We gotta go. What's happening?
Did I go?
No. Did you? No.
I don't think so.
What's your question?
We talked about Care Bears, talked about dinosaurs. I think I want to bring us back to our human bodies, our human emotions. I think what is coming up for me now, in the spirit of intuition being the moment, which I think is very, it's carried me in this work, is if a human emotion could be like a landscape or a texture or a color, something in nature, what could represent that human emotion? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like a specific emotion or human emotion in general?
I think like a specific emotion, like rage. Like what would rage look like or color? I've never asked that question before.
I feel like
it's a good one.
I can't target one emotion.
Yeah.
But I feel like because this one that I'm about to say embodies so many emotions. Just the ocean. Mm. Right?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Like the ocean is so vast. Just anything with water. It's just vast. It could be, you know, anger could represent the waves and, you know, it could represent typhoon. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Like a typhoon storm happening. It could be as shallow as, like, the coastline of an island as blue, you know, where salt water mixes with fresh water. I don't even know if that's...
Yeah.
That's a thing.
That's a thing. I'm thinking about where... I don't know which oceans meet. I forget, but there's this video where two oceans meet and they don't mix, but it's like harmony, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The San Gabriel River meets the ocean. You know where Ballast Point is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that... I don't know what beach that's called.
Mm.
Yeah, like right there. But it's a powerful place. It's where the river, yeah, it goes out to the ocean.
You can see it.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know what the scientific name for that is, but it's something.
Yeah. It's like a blending that happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the first thing that came to mind for me, too, was the ocean, I think. Mm. What I've always thought was so powerful about the ocean is it's the same, essentially unchanged, right? It's water, salt. All the creatures that live in it, but it had this ability to like take on what I have always read as different emotions, right?
Yeah.
So like waves in and of themselves can be really rageful, or also like really joyful and happy.
They
don't know how to like pinpoint and describe what it is that changes to reflect those different emotions.
I think the moon also. Controls like tides.
Yeah, and just like also that same really like raging, scary ocean. The next day can be like super serene and calm and you know.
That's true. That is true.
I wonder what else.
Right when you were talking about the ocean, I was thinking about the desert and what the desert represent. If the desert represented an emotion or a range of emotions, and I kind of think that the desert represents the human need to reflect and to like be part of something larger and bigger. and, you know, like I'm thinking about the desert at night, like not the desert at day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When it's like cooler and colder
clear.
And like you know like so dangerously cold
yeah
so much happens in the desert at night
That's real
how like flowers bloom in the desert at night and I just see a person like out in the dark and I guess being like super big thought here like that feeling of being alone and that feeling of like wanting to be connected to something beyond the human body, I think.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's really powerful.
Ooh. Yeah, it is.
Okay, Gilbert.
You know, I've never been to Joshua Tree. I want to go.
Well, we should take a field trip.
We should.
We are in, we will introduce the new team name and office space in a later episode. But I have to say that I'm in a new office, the new recording booth, which is right across from the microwave now. So I wonder if this is the time that we go into the hallway and pull in a special guest, see who's at the microwave, and then ask them a check-in question.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're opening
this. This is live right now. Who is it?
Jenny.
Yes. I know Jenny's got a lot to do today, but ask her.
Come here.
Would you like to...
Jenny, we're recording right now.
Oh, yeah?
Jenny, what's been a favorite check-in question that you've asked people?
Let me think about it.
Can we ask you one?
Sure.
I think the last one. Remember?
Yeah, that was
good. Jenny. Everyone knows Jenny from episode 2 or 3. Amazing episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If a human emotion could be represented in nature, Salu Ali, what would that human emotion be, and represented in what? Does that make sense?
A human emotion could be represented in nature.
Boy is water, and I don't know if this is a human emotion, but groundiness is a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
A tree is determination. A flower is creativity, feeling creative.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. She gave us a whole list there.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's more like a feeling. How are feeling? What does nature like? Mm-hmm. You know, because I think human emotion is a technical term.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me be like, oh my God, I don't know. What are the emotions that we have? And what are the universal emotions? And are emotions different than feelings?
So just using
maybe the word feelings, like what feelings, how are feelings expressed in nature? How does nature remind us of feelings or something like that?
That's a good example of how the editing of a check-in question is important so that it's open.
Yeah.
Expansive.
Yes, the language just feels a little bit more open.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Definitely.
That's a tidbit for all of you all out there.
Cool.
Thank you, Jenny.
Enjoy your lunch. Jenny has exited the room of garlic.
I'm super curious, in the circles that you've done and working with families, like how you've used like a check-in question in the past, or even like not even work-related. Like,
mm-hmm.
have you ever been kicking in with people and somebody asks a question and then it leads to storytelling?
Yeah.
Definitely. I used to do it just like not work-related, socially a lot. Just with my friends and, you know, we'd be kicking it and just like hanging out, wherever, talking, and I remember, this is not very, I don't recommend using this one, but I remember it just sparked a lot of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It was this question of, like, if you could choose one person
mm-hmm.
in this world to die, mm-hmm. who would it be and why? Mm-hmm. I don't recommend using this question, like, it's not very sensitive, trauma-informed, anything like that, but it, like, it took folks to a lot of really deep places and sharing a lot of just like childhood experiences and like why certain things were so important or so salient for them.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting. And I was like, okay.
That's okay.
Those people that you knew, right? Like you are,
like people I was very close with, you know, friends that
been
friends for a long time. Which I think speaks to like, you know, a level one, level two question, people
mm-hmm.
that we don't know, and then like going deep with people that we do know.
I think my favorite one will always be, what does love ask of you today? And that's something that I heard Delia say, like when I first started here, it was one of those activities that we were doing, and she had asked, what does love ask you today? And I just remember going to the room and crying, like, it's asking me a lot. But the different responses that you get from people, like, what does compassion ask of you today? What does justice ask of you today? You know, it's like, it could go so many different ways, and I think it's a level one question, but it opens up so much, you know, and you discover a lot about yourself and others around you.
Yeah, I do have to say, I think it was one of my first days here. I don't remember what we were doing. I don't know if it was volunteer training or something else. And I think it was you, Mel, that asked that question.
What is love asking?
Yeah, what is love asking you today? Mm-hmm. Or asking of you today?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just similar to the way you described, like it was so powerful for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like, I passed on the first round we were going around because I was just like.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. And mm-hmm. I think it really, it made me think a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think helped ground me in like my intentions for that day and that space. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was a super powerful fucking question.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. But love could ask you something different every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
We want to bring back my favorite fucking question of
please.
All time is Gilbert. One day we were having lunch. We were all having lunch in our living room, in our office.
Or in the old office.
In our old office, yes. Or a little bit office.
Yep, we're right now. It's water.
It's water. We on the clock still, it's water.
Mm-hmm.
And Gilbert asked this beautiful question. I will probably butcher it, so I will let
no,
him.
Get it. Oh, you want me to do it?
Yeah, if you can.
I just remember the topic of chicken came up for me. The question was then, if you were a chicken, how would you want to be prepared?
Yeah. And I think, we have a lot of folks at the table eating with us today, or that day,
mm-hmm.
And so there were a lot of questions and clarifications, so I think originally it was, if you were a chicken, how would you want to be prepared?
Mm-hmm.
And then it got slightly shifted into, like, if you were a chicken and had to nourish your friends and family.
Oh, yeah, that was a remix.
How would you want to do that? Yeah,
that was
the coolest.
And you used that with friends, right? Didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
It was interesting, like, when I was getting ready to say it, I really expected them all to be like, Tanya, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, why would you, what? They were all like, ooh, I like that, you know what? And just took off with it. So it worked really well.
I think I remember somebody said, I want to be a free-range chicken with a lot of land. And somebody was like, I would want to be massaged and then put in buttermilk.
Oh.
Remember somebody said that? I think
that must have been me because I make the chicken with buttermilk.
Okay, that was
like
you.
I specifically remember something about
massaging.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa was like chicken soup, right? Like to nourish, to like feed, so like if somebody was sick.
Yeah.
Maybe that was somebody else. I don't know.
I think that was me.
I think so. I remember somebody said eggs. That was a clarification that was like, if you had to nourish your... Because they were like, I don't want to give myself. I'll give them my eggs.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I guess that counts. We can make up our own rules here.
I guess the thing with that question, in terms of like, because we're talking about checking questions and impact, like that was just the topic I had in my head, and I just went with it. And people went with it too.
Yeah.
Kind of like what you're saying with your friend Sonia, like people just went with it.
For sure. I think what I love sometimes is even sometimes when you don't plan for a check-in question to be super impactful or like lead to a specific, you know, discussion or conversation, I do feel like they're really powerful sometimes and that people will take them where they need to go. You know, sometimes people like read way deeper into it, or they start bringing all this meaning and like, you know, really, really meaningful responses, and you're just like, oh, I just thought like dinosaurs were cool, you know.
Yeah.
But it's really dope in that way that I can open up dialogues.
And then from those dialogues, other check-in questions come out. Yeah. Find that to be cool too. I think the one that, a check-in question that always makes people emotional is, what would you say to your younger self? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, about what?
Like, at all in general. You know? I love living it open and, like, how does it land for you? Mm-hmm. Whatever that question means for you. Mm-hmm. But I always think it's funny when sometimes people are uncomfortable with that. Because mm-hmm. I'm one of those people that I ask for, like, a lot of clarification. I'm like, but what specifically
do you mean? How do you specifically? Yeah. So interesting.
I love when people leave the room, like, their bodies are present, but you see them, their eyes look to a different part of the room, and you just see them, like, float away.
Yeah.
Like, they're no longer present. They're thinking, or they're receiving, or... I mean, that's really powerful with the question.
True. And then there's that moment of silence.
Yeah.
Good silence, because silence is okay. Silence is normal. You know.
Yeah, I think silence as a tool can be really powerful. Mm-hmm. And it can be uncomfortable for folks, just because I think we're not used to it, but I think there is value in that discomfort.
Yeah, very much.
Like, yeah.
In leaning into it, in allowing it, mm-hmm. and just sitting with it. You know?
Yeah. And I think checking questions allow for people to actually sit with it, because you know you have some people who always want to, like, jump with the answer first, and it's like, no, really think about it and, like, check in, you know, so it forces people to do that too.
I'm so satisfied right now. I think it's about that time to close out this mini episode. Two thoughts. One, a game of a flashlight lightning round. How many check-in questions can we name in, like, 2 minutes?
Oh.
Should we try that and then close out?
Okay.
All right, let me do the timer on my phone. So my thoughts here is I put 2 minutes on the timer, and then we just spit out as many possible check-in questions, ones that we've used, ones that are in our brains' hearts right now. Ones that are crazy, I don't know.
Okay.
Does that make some sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
Should we just do popcorn it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, popcorn, yeah.
All right, 2 minutes begin. Well, hold on, let me get some water.
Okay. Water is life.
Literally.
Mm-hmm. All this talk about water today.
Yeah, that's true.
It needs to rain. We need rain.
All right, 2 minutes begin now.
If you were a salad dressing, what salad dressing would you be and why?
If you could wear one piece of clothing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
If you could be a noodle, what kind of noodle would you be?
If you had a superpower, what superpower would you have?
If your mood was a weather system, what would it be right now?
If you could be a substitute teacher for your younger elementary school self, what would you do?
If you were to be able to talk to animals, what would you say to them today?
If you could have any job other than the one that you have right now, what would it be?
If you could be a form of fire, what form would it be?
I'm over here thinking about that one.
I was thinking about the first one you said.
Which one?
The very first one.
Okay.
No, sorry. I was just, sorry.
I wanted to... If you were a fruit, what fruit would you be?
Fruity.
If you were a condiment, what condiment would you be?
Ooh, if you could be in a 90s video, which as a backup dancer, which video would that be?
What's your favorite early 2000s song?
30 seconds.
Another question Gilbert had asked. If you could do an 80s commercial.
That's right.
Yes, that anything, was a good one.
What would the product be?
What's your DJ name?
What's your zodiac sign? No, yes. And then so we can look up your chart.
Yes. I just lost it.
You got the last one?
If you could be any animal, what would you be and why?
And time! Yay! I don't have anything that... All my talking pieces are put away.
Sweet.
Thank you for the lightning flash round.
Yeah.
Checking question. Thank you for lunch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here today.
Yes.
To
you.
Thank you for having us.
I guess we should close out. Any words of gratitude or what does your heart have to say?
In the spirit of check-ins, always remember to check in with yourself.
Mm.
Check in.
So good.
Take a moment actually right now and what does your body ask of you? You need to go to the restroom. Do you need water? Are you in traffic right now? Do you need to put on some soft music?
Yeah.
Are you going for a walk? Are you at your desk? What does your body need from you today? Right now. Gratitude to bodies.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Gratitude to everyone listening and folks who are actually, you know, sticking with us, mm-hmm. listening to further their understanding of RJ practices. Gratitude to my team and folks in the room with me right now, Jamel and Gilbert.
Yeah.
Super excited to be featured on this little mini podcast episode.
Yes.
And then I had a question. Is there like an email or something that folks can send us their favorite check-in questions?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
So beautiful. Yeah, the email is info@cacej.org. For anyone to send in their favorite check-in questions. We also are on social media. So
yeah.
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We would love, thank you for that, Tanya. Like,
mm-hmm.
we would love to hear what check-in questions you've asked
mm-hmm.
in schools and groups with or with staff, or what kind of creative questions you have
mm-hmm.
on your brain today. So as soon as this is out, please feel free to respond to that email at info@cacej.org or look for us on our social media for those check-in questions.
And on social media, we are at @CCEJLove.
And then #CCEJLove.
We are only as good as the spirits that we have from our ancestors and from each other. And we're also only as good as those that we are surrounded with. And
mm-hmm.
so much gratitude to Jamel and Tanya for this lunchtime mini bonus episode. It's good times.
Yes,
much love to you both.
Much love to you too.
Much love also to this crab that, you know,
yes.
nourished us today.
Gratitude to
delicious.
The fish today.
And gratitude to the folks who've prepared our
yeah.
lunch.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you too, Bogey Moore. good times.
Good times.
Beautiful. That was like 47 minutes right there.